You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We're running the gauntlet on the program. We got something for everybody on the show this afternoon. Pat Mayo joins me in studio. Pat Mayo, super lock of the week. Now 2-1 after 3 weeks. We'll see who Pat Mayo likes in week 4 of National Football League regular season play. We'll break it down. Steve Merrill will step up and in. We'll talk some college of football with Steve Merrill and some NFL football and a little Major League Baseball as well. It's the final weekend of regular season play. The playoffs are around the corner. I love playoff baseball, and I've always thought that actually the first couple of weeks of October are actually the best. I said the best, Jerry, the best time of the sports year. Now, speaking of the playoffs, the AFL playoffs are winding down and wrapping up. And I'm not talking about the Arena Football League, the Aussie Football League, Australian Football Rules Championship, a little AFL footy talk on the program. We've been breaking it down all season long with Mick Aussie. He's joined us a couple of times on Game Time Decisions, but for the most part, it's been our Friday night, late night thing. And I got to tell you, man, we're crushing it. We're crushing the NFL. We're doing okay in college, but we absolutely like assaulted the AFL this year. We have a championship game tonight. It's called the Grand Final, the AFL Grand Final from the legendary and world famous Melbourne Cricket Grounds. So we're going to break that down with Mick Aussie. Ton of stuff to get to. And oh yeah, I got a millionaire maker lineup for you. Last week, I gave you a lineup. It doubled your money. You know, it cost us $20 to enter. We got $30 back for the lineup that we gave you. I got to be honest with you. You know, I've got a lot of problems in my life, so I kind of sort of like compartmentalize things, but making this week's millionaire maker lineup actually gave me a headache and made me angry. Everything makes me angry and made me want to throw my computer off the balcony. Everything wants to make me throw my computer off the balcony too. But no, it was just one of those deals. I was like, oh, should I go? Should I just stack the Carolina Panthers? Should I stack the Panthers? Or should I go with these value guys? And just because they're value guys, yeah, Jordan Howard's a good value guy, but doesn't mean he's going to score a ton of points, right? So I was really torn on it. And I don't know, I might regret this because I totally dispatched the lineup that I worked on all week and put together a new lineup in about 90 seconds that I think might be better. It might be better. I don't know. Time will tell. We'll give you that, all that and more on the program. All right. I want to talk about the NFL and the declining ratings before we kickstart the program this afternoon. It's been a lot of talk about the NFL and their declining ratings. Ratings are down about 12% for the Sunday nighters and the Monday nighters. And people are actually believing that somehow it's because of Colin Kaepernick. Because Colin Kaepernick protests the anthem. This thing is trickled across the league now, obviously. And without a doubt, there's a lot of people that are outraged at Colin Kaepernick. There's a lot of people that hate Colin Kaepernick. But because some dude, you know, if Joe Sixpack in Pittsburgh hates Colin Kaepernick, do you think he's not watching the Steelers game? You know, we said it before. Roger Goodell could come to your house and piss in your cornflakes Sunday morning. You're still watching the games on Sunday. And in fact, I think Colin Kaepernick could come to your house, burn your house down. Well, you'd hate him. Yeah, you'd probably go to the sports bar while the fire department put the fire out. So, you know, yeah, I'm not saying people aren't upset about Kaepernick, but that's not why the ratings are down. The fact of the matter is, why the ratings are down is because the games have sucked. Let's call it out for what it is. You know, that people aren't watching because the games suck. Nobody wants to watch Brian Hoyer get sacked 13 times and get routed by the Dallas Cowboys. You know, anybody watch Ryan Tannehill last night? Was that entertainment? It's more entertaining watching Wolf Blitzer on CNN than it was watching Ryan Tannehill complete 3 passes. It was a boring, crappy football game. You know, ratings are down, you know, for the prime time games. They're not down for the Sunday games. So what, people are pissed about Kaepernick and they don't watch at night, but they watch during the day? It's the fact is, the prime time games have sucked. You know, the Chicago Bears were on Monday Night Football against the Eagles. That game was awful. Unless you're an Eagle fan, it was terrible, right? Unless you're like, hey, Carson Wentz, yeah, it sucked that game. Well, you know, the Chicago Bears were on Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. Well, there's two games. We've only had 3 weeks. People, all the ratings are down. The Bears have been on primetime twice already. Nobody wants to watch the Chicago Bears. Even people in Chicago don't want to watch this piece of crap football team play. You know, the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills are one of the primetime nationally televised games. You think anybody gives a crap outside the state of New York about a Buffalo Bill or a New York Jet game? Like, seriously. Like, you know, you think there's just some dude that works in San Diego that's running red lights and going like 85 to get home? I got to get home to watch Tyrod Taylor suck. You know, come on, man. It's because the games have sucked. And oh, yeah, the primetime games, the last four primetime games, the margin of victory, 17.3 points. They're not entertaining. You got bad football teams playing bad, boring football games. That's why the ratings are down. But I'll tell you what, the National Football League does a lot of stupid things. This wasn't one of them. There's a method to their madness, actually, here. As the National Football League is contractually obligated to put every team in the league on national television at least once. And it makes sense. Would you rather watch the Chicago Bears now when they're 0-2? Yeah, it sucks. You're watching the Bears, you know, or you're not watching the Bears and the ratings are down, but it's better to get the Bears out of the way on TV before they're 2-12. You know, why do you think the Buffalo Bills are on national television in week two? You're not putting them on national television in week 13. You know, you put them on in week two. So there's a method to the madness. And, you know, we got some big primetime great matchups coming up. Monday Night Football, that has generally sucked over the years since ESPN took it over. The schedule has been brutal for them. Actually, we got the New York Giants, biggest market. We got the Minnesota Vikings, great football team. Sunday night, the Chiefs and the Steelers. I'll tell you what, the National Football League's got 99 problems. TV ratings ain't one of them. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game time decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. I know many of you now listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I joined the boys earlier in the day on Out of Bounds talking about David Stern. David Stern, former NBA commissioner, appeared at the Gaming Expo in Las Vegas yesterday and said that he endorses legalized sports wagering in the United States of America and North America and thinks it'll be profitable and better endeavor for all. So bravo to David Stern. I was asked whether I think legalized sports gambling will arrive. I said, just like marijuana, you know, 20 years ago, you wouldn't imagine you're walking into a store and buying an 8-ball of weed as easy as it is as you're buying a Pepsi. But eventually it's going to get here in which you will be betting on sports legally as well. All right, let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. So Mick Ossie's going to join us. AFL championship game tonight. We got Pat Mayo in a super lock. He's 2-1 on the season so far. He joins me in studio. Let's bring in Steve Merrill off the top. A lot of stuff to get to with Steve. Steve, I know you heard a little bit of my intro off the top. And I know, you know, you and I probably disagree as far as Colin Kaepernick is concerned. I know you're not a Colin Kaepernick fan and you don't like what he's doing. But what's your take on the fact that some people think it's because Kaepernick and other players are kneeling during the anthem, that's why the NFL ratings are down? I disagree with that premise. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with it at all, actually. I mean, it sounds good in theory, but when you really think about it practically, I mean, most people don't even see the anthem on TV. I mean, it's before the game even comes on. I don't think it has anything to do with it. And the only reason I don't like what Kaepernick's doing is I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I mean, I have no problem if you want to protest about something, but it's when you're doing something I think is kind of disrespectful to start with, and then you don't really make good points. Is, you know, where it's just frustrating, but it's a small sample size. It's the same thing in handicapping. You have to be very careful not to overreact to small sample sizes. We're only 3 weeks in. Star players like Brady have been out, etc., and there haven't been great matchups. You know, like you said, the Bears have been on twice already, and you know, nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Steve. If we look at the matchups, and we're not going to go down every primetime game, but Bills Jets, who cares about that, Steve? Besides people that bet on it and people in New York, in the state of New York, you know, the Bears are on twice. And not only are the Bears bad, they're boring, Steve, right? You know, if a team loses, but they lose, you know, 42-39, people will watch. But, you know, like the Miami Dolphins last night, Steve, that game was awful last night.
And look, you've had the Patriots on twice and the Cowboys on once. And without Brady and Romo, two of the top five most popular players in the NFL, you think people still watch. But keep in mind, not everybody's a sports bettor. Obviously, every sports bettor is still watching Sunday Night Football. But the average housewife isn't watching without Tony Romo. You think she wanted to see Dak Prescott and Hoyer, you know, in the Monday night? You know, it's not the matchups you've wanted with these backups. And not that Jay Cutler's a huge draw, but he was out as well Monday night.
No, and, you know, not to mention, too, it's almost like we're giving excuses, which I rarely do for the NFL, but there's almost a case in an instance as to why the ratings sucked that night. I believe a couple of Sunday nights ago was the Emmys going head-to-head
with
the NFL.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that.
So you've had the Emmys, had a debate that, it was, you know, 84 million people watch. We never got to that. So before we jump into the sports, quick take on the debate, Steve. We spoke Monday night. We were wondering, we said, we'll be able to quantify the debate and who people thought won the debate by the odds movement. And man, before the debate was even over, Steve, it moved like 80 cents on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it live. I actually ended up watching more of the football. I taped the debate and watched it later that evening just to get kind of the highlights, because it turned out to be what I thought. It was going to be a major letdown and boring, and it basically was. But before I even watched it, I looked at the odds. I put that on Twitter. Before the debate, she was at 63%. After the debate, she was at 69%. She went up 6% right after the debate and in debate, like you said. So that told me all I needed to know. And then everyone's saying Trump won. I'm thinking to myself, that's not what the betting markets are saying. I thought he kind of fell apart at the very end. Otherwise, I thought it was kind of a draw. And if you think about it, Gabe, once again, Hillary had a 4-touchdown lead. She gave up a couple touchdowns the last month or so. She still had a 2-touchdown lead. A tie is as good as a win when you have a 2-touchdown lead. And I think that's another reason her odds went up. She didn't necessarily win the debate, but she didn't lose either.
Yeah, and subsequently after the fact, Steve, Trump's had a worse night. And for the record, Trump's talking about winning the polls and stuff like that. He won on the Drudge Report, all right? So, you know, the actual, like, real news organizations polls have it like 62-38. He got trampled, Steve. And even worse, throughout the week, he's making it worse. This morning, you know, it's like he's on coke, but he isn't on coke, like Howard Dean said. That, you know, last night he went on a Twitter tirade at like 3:30 in the morning till 5 a.m. 90 minutes of tweets, you know, calling Miss Universes out and stuff. Like, he's insane. He's losing the election like rapidly. They got to rein this guy in. But let's jump in and talk about another situation that people are polarized on. Stanford and Washington tonight, Steve. Stanford and Washington, are the Washington Huskies for real? I guess we find out tonight.
Well, I do my Charlotte show, you know, right after this every Friday, and the host is Frank Garcia, who went to Washington and was an NFL center for the Rams and the Panthers. So every week we talk about Washington football, even though it's a Charlotte radio show, because he's an alum. And he asked me last week about the Washington-Arizona game, and at the time the line was 14. It closed as high as 17 on Saturday. And I made the comment, you know, it just seemed a little inflated. Washington's vastly improved from when they barely won a game a couple seasons ago. But, you know, are they really ready for primetime players? And that Arizona game last week is something that worried me, and they needed overtime just to win the game as a 17-point favorite, which shows that maybe they aren't quite at the level everybody thinks. And they gave up over 300 yards rushing, over 7 yards per carry, and now they face probably the best running back in the country in Stanford. So even though it's a double revenge spot, it's a national TV spotlight game, I still think Stanford might be the better team getting points.
Yeah, you know what, Steve, you're right. It's real hard to lay the points, and I'm going to do it. I'm getting suckered in here. Stanford's offense has struggled this year, but this is what they do. They just find ways to win football games. And, you know, I watched that game last week with Arizona and Washington, and as you stated, Matt, Arizona ran up and down the field, although it should be noted it was the quarterback, Dawkins, who's incredibly fast, and he was just basically snapping the ball and taking off. But, you know, McCaffrey's pretty good too, right? So, he could be able to run the ball. To me, it comes down to Jake Browning. You know, Jake Browning, extremely hyped quarterback of the Washington Huskies. He's got 14 touchdown passes on the season, only 2 interceptions. His quarterback efficiency rating is like, you know, breaking the meter. Yet, you know, who they played, Steve? Rutgers, Portland State, and then Arizona. Tough test tonight. Big, huge, huge game. Big game for the Pac-12 and their playoffs, too. A rare top 10 Friday night battle, Steve.
Well, I definitely like the spot, you know, for Washington being a double revenge home game. But then again, you look at the line. They were a 8-point road home dog when they lost by 7 2 years ago. They were a 14-point dog last year on the road, lost by 17. So basically, you know, you take away the home field each way. They would have been an 8-point home dog each of the last 2 years. Now they're a 3-point favorite. That's an 11.5-point line swing from the last two seasons. They actually lost the game. You know, had they really gotten that much better is the question.
But you know, Steve, being the capper that you are aware that your colleagues and the markets, especially on the West Coast, they love the Washington Huskies this year, man. They love them coming into the year, and they're gushing about them still. It's tonight's the gut check time.
Well, they loved them last week at Arizona, pushing the line from 14 to 17, a game which that was tied at the end of regulation.
I took Arizona, man. That was a stupid line.
I didn't really do anything with that game, but when we talked about it on the Charlotte show last week, I was like, boy, that line does look a little inflated. You know, are they really ready for the primetime player role? We're going to find out tonight because it really is a primetime game tonight.
You know, it's funny because people were like, oh, I knew Solomon's going to be out, yet Dawkins was more efficient. Solomon's okay, but he hasn't developed. I thought maybe he could turn into a superstar Mariota type, but it just hasn't happened. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't be taking Dawkins out anytime soon, man. This kid is so fast, and he can throw the ball as well. I was impressed. All right, so we got another big game tonight. Big game for the BYU Cougars. People are down on BYU. They're 1-3. And let's look at their schedule, Steve. They played at Arizona. They played at Utah. They lost because of the 2-point convert. They hosted the UCLA Bruins, and then they went and they played West Virginia, the home of the Redskins in Washington last week. Next week they're at Michigan State. Their schedule is too hard. I don't know why they do this to themselves, but they get a Toledo team tonight. That's another trendy team, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, BYU is one of only, I think, three independents left in Division 1A football, along with Army and UMass. That's a good trivia question there. But the problem is they can't get any weeks off. There's no bottom feeders because they're playing good teams from all the other conferences. And you can almost make an argument this was their bottom feeder game, and Toledo's, you know, a good opponent. So it's a tough season for a BYU. At some point, it's going to take its toll. They're 1-3 straight up, but they're 4-0 against the spread, like you said, Gabe. They've been very competitive. It does concern you that they, you know, had some trouble stopping West Virginia. Virginia giving up 35 points. Toledo, an explosive offensive team, but just like West Virginia, Toledo plays fast. So if anything, I think it might be an advantage having played a team like that last time. Now it's like second week in a row with a similar type of opponent. That actually might work well for BYU, and they've also got the altitude edge as always at home.
Yeah, and you know, they just haven't gotten a break yet, Steve, and I think they're going to get some Mormon magic tonight on Friday night. Toledo's been one of my go-tos, man, and Toledo are unbelievable on the road. They're just, you know, they're money makers, 9-0 straight up and against the spread their last 9 road games. It's unbelievable. And I said this earlier in the week about the Rockets, Steve. You know, the Rockets always win these out-of-conference games. They have these high-profile wins, but they're never able to get it done and win the MAC. Remember last year they beat the Arkansas Razorbacks on the road. This year they went into Arkansas State and beat them. But what I wonder, Steve, Arkansas State were 4-point favorites against Toledo, and now we got BYU 3.5. That's a head-scratcher.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, at some point, too, that the schedule takes its toll in Toledo. Obviously, they haven't played as tough of a schedule on BYU, but like you said, they've got the MAC games on deck. And I mean, Eastern Michigan might not be a big game, but it's still a conference game next week. And that's really all that matters for Toledo is winning the conference game. So this game might not be as big as people think it is for the Rockets.
All right, Steve, let's talk about a game that you wrote about over at covers.com. North Carolina and Florida State. The total is 70. The Noles got blasted that 1 week by the Ville. But other than that, they've scored 45 or more, as you wrote. Their offense is starting to click now. Dalvin Cook got on leash last week against South Florida. Meanwhile, you got the Tar Heels coming in here on a high. The double digits actually looks tempting here, Steve. Double digits in a high-scoring game.
Yeah, when I wrote this on Monday night for my line watch over at covers.com, it was 69. It quickly went up to 70. Now it's 70.5. But it's tough not to play the over here. The Seminoles have put up at least 45 points or more in 3 of their 4 games. However, the defense has allowed 34 or more in 3 of 4 games. 78 points per game is what Florida State's games are averaging this year. North Carolina the same way, 37 or more in 3 of their 4 games. They've given up 28 or more in 3 of 4. They're averaging over 71 total points per game. The total's still below both of those numbers.
Yeah, and you know what? The Heels are 3-1 to the over this year. The only game that didn't go over was that season opener against the Georgia Bulldogs. And that looked like it was going over, and it slowed down. The Noles have played four games, but, 3-0 to the over in line that game. No total for one of the games that they played officially. Yeah, the Heels offense, man, to throw for 334 yards a game, Steve, I think they're going to be able to go up and down the field. All right, let's talk some NFL football. Let's talk about a team that, like your Caps, that you gave up on a long time ago, the Redskins. Redskins, big win last week. They can win this week to get back on track. They're 2-2. One thing that everyone talked about the Skins, Steve, is, oh, well, they couldn't beat anybody with a winning record last year. And that was true, but it also means that they took care of business against bad teams. A lot of people are scared of the Redskins and laying the points in this spot. What's your take on this game?
Yeah, I was laughing. I did my Nashville radio show earlier this morning, and the host said, "You're Washington Redskins." And I told them the last time they were my Redskins, Cleveland didn't have a football team, which is what, pre-1999 probably. So, yeah, it's tough to be a Redskin fan anymore. That Dallas game proved why a couple weeks ago, a game they should have won, and they found a way to lose, Kirk Cousins specifically. Now, a huge bounce back against the Giants, but back-to-back huge divisional games, you got to wonder if maybe this is a little bit of a flat spot for the Redskins, even though they're just 1-2. And look at Cleveland's numbers this year, Gabe. They've been very good offensively, better than people would expect, averaging almost 6 yards per carry, throwing for almost 7 yards per pass. You know, getting more than a touchdown, that's plenty of backdoor cover potential if needed. I think the Redskins probably win. Maybe look at them on a teaser down to -1.5 as a safer option, or take a look at the over 46. That's probably the best option. Two good offenses, two bad defenses.
Yeah, you're right. You know, Hugh Jackson's offenses are always good. They are explosive. They're big playmakers. That's, you know, Hugh Jackson always is into the big plays. And, you know, Cleveland, you have to feel for them losing last week to Miami in a fashion that they did. I agree with you. I think the Redskins win the game, but, you know, I think at some point Cousins will get booed, and then everyone will love him at the end. They'll pull it out. All right, Chiefs and Steelers. Interesting game, Steve. The Sunday nighter, speaking of ratings going up. So we got the Chiefs and the Steelers. The Steelers coming off an embarrassing loss, man. They haven't lost like that. That was like their worst loss in, like, you know, I forget the stat. It was like 20 years or whatever the hell it was. They haven't lost like that in a long time. Meanwhile, you got the Chiefs. The Chiefs weren't very good in their last home game, road game, when they lost to the Houston Texans, but that was a revenge spot for the Texans. I'm not ready to lay 5 points. I used to be great picking the winners of Steelers games, but I'm not really in the groove anymore with this team. What's your take on this one?
Well, first of all, you know, on the surface last week, it was a terrible spot for Pittsburgh. It was a non-conference road game sandwiched between, you know, the Cincinnati home divisional win and this Kansas City Sunday nighter. The fact that it was at Philly, an in-state team, you know, that had been off to a fast start, I thought maybe Pittsburgh would still stay focused. But otherwise, you can kind of understand why they came out a bit flat. But both of these offenses have been very below average so far. The total's around 47. The public loves these overs on Sunday night, as you know, Gabe. If you really look at the offensive numbers this year, both teams have struggled. Now, however, you feel like Pittsburgh probably bounces back with a better effort after just 3 points, so that is a concern. But Kansas City has not been as good offensively as the 24 and 33 points shows in two of their three games this year.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I look at this total, and my gut instinct tells me Sunday night there'll be some points.
Right.
There'll be some turnovers. You know, the Steelers' offense is only going to score 3 points. The Steelers' defense isn't great. KC will be able to move the ball. Ware will be able to run the ball. But, you know, these two teams play each other a lot, Steve. I was looking up the numbers, and, you know, they played last year. Kansas City won 23-13. They played in 2014, a year before. Steelers won 20-12. They played in 2011 and 2012. And in fact, all four, the last four, they played four times in the last 5 years. All four games have gone under the number.
Yeah, and if you look at the offensive numbers this year, Pittsburgh especially, 5.5 yards per play against teams that allow six, or Kansas City rather. Pittsburgh, same thing, 5.5 against teams that allow six. I mean, they've actually been very mediocre against bad defensive opponents so far.
You know, Roethlisberger doesn't scramble anymore. It's one thing I've noticed. He gets hit. He'll throw the ball away, or, you know, he's not running for yards. You know, we got the numbers up here. Rushing attempts, 3. Come on, guys. Normally, you know, he has that in a quarter. Roethlisberger refuses the sack, and he'll run. rush. You know, he's not, he just doesn't want to get hit as much anymore. So there's a lot of dinks and dunks going on. But Marcus Wheaton dropped a million balls last week. All right, before we get you out of here, we got about a minute left. You know, all this football talk, I want to inform everybody, and I've been giving it every day on the show, but I didn't yesterday, and it won again. But the Baltimore Orioles are on a 12-0 under run right now, Steve. Last 18 games, 15 unders, two overs, and one push as well.
Yeah, it's remarkable because they're one of the best power hitting teams in the league, and they're pitching for a while when they kind of started to fall out of the divisional race about a month ago. Their pitching was killing them, but they've turned things around here. Back-to-back underdog wins in Toronto. Could be a little bit of a letdown tonight. I know it's a huge series still against the Yankees. Yankees remain home, though, off of four straight wins, sweeping the Red Sox. I think they have more momentum here at home tonight.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. Steve, and check him out over at covers.com. Steve, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, there's Steve Merrill with us. Mick Aussie, we're talking some AFL footy. If you've never heard Mick Aussie before, it's an adventure, an Australian adventure. We go down under coming up next. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live weekdays at 2 o'clock. The show replays at 5:30 on television. I believe it replays at 5 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We just wrapped up business with Steve Merrill. We ran the gauntlet with Steve, as we say, to the Baltimore Orioles. Total's 8.5 tonight. I kind of agree with Steve. The Yankees, you know, Baltimore just won two games against the Jays. Can Baltimore win a third consecutive road game here? They're not really a great road team. And even the 8.5 worries me a little bit. But it's going to be some intense baseball played over the weekend. We're fired up for the start of the baseball playoffs. The World Cup of Hockey concluded last night. And, man, yeah. Yeah, you want to talk? I don't know what was worse, like the World Cup of Hockey or like the Dolphins-Bengals game. Like just brutally bad and torturously slow. And, you know, it's funny because if it would have went to three games, you would figure some people are like, well, if it goes to a championship game in a best of three on Saturday night, there'll be some excitement. But when you consider that the scalpers were getting about less than a quarter of the face value for their tickets back, I realized last night for the scalpers out there, which I used to be one of them many, many years ago, that it was actually better if the series ended and you get a full refund. That's what it came down to. You get a full refund. So like I said off the top, it's a great time of the year to be a sports fan. Love October. College football games count. NFL football, these games start to really matter right now. Major League Baseball playoffs. And we've got the AFL Grand Final as well. We've been breaking it down all season long with Mick Aussie. And the Sydney Swans, who were favored before the playoffs started to win the Grand Final, they've made it to the finals. They were plus 200 to win the championship before the playoffs started. Somewhat of an upstart Sydney Swans team. Before the year started, nobody thought the Swans were going to be, a championship pedigree club, but they are. Sydney Swans, 17-5 on the season, taking on a Western Bulldog team. These guys have been money makers, man. They've been underdogs in every game that they played in the playoffs. All right, the Western Bulldogs, first team who aren't in the top six to make it to the grand final. Normally, the top seeds have always made it, and they've been playing a lot of these. They've been playing this for a long time, so it's like the biggest sort of wild card team ever to get this far. The real upstarts, they continue to cover on a weekly basis. We've been giving it to you on a weekly basis on Morenci Unfiltered, and I'll tell you what, they're getting 10.5 points tonight. And Western beat Sydney twice this year. Yeah, how do we not take a look at getting 10.5 points in this game when they already beat them twice? They beat them twice, two very close games, lower scoring games as well. Both games went under the number as the Bulldogs won 77-73 in round 5, and they won 83-79 in round 15. the Sydney Swans. Sydney Swans played a very good Geelong Cat team, and they absolutely just, they ambushed them early. The Cats couldn't get back on track, and the Swans got routed in a championship game a couple of years ago. So now they're back looking for revenge. The Western Bulldogs, these guys haven't won a championship since 1954. So this is how, like, you know, big this is for them. I'm taking the 10.5 points in this game. Now, I always get the times mixed up. Yeah, you know, I'm an international degenerate gambler, so I'm pretty good with world times. Like, it'd be, I'd be great, like, with geography and world times. Like, for a loser like I am, I actually know a lot about times and stuff like that. Like, yeah, what time is it in Jakarta? I'm like, it's 4:20 right now. 4:20 in Jakarta. Because I bet on international sport. But I believe this game's at 12:30, 12:35 Eastern time this evening. So it's a little late night degenerate action for you all. And I'm telling you guys, as you can see, I could have done this without a script here. I follow this league. Take the Western Bulldogs plus the 10.5 points. I want to say take the over 163.5, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to get there. It could be a hard-fought, low-scoring game. We take a quick break. Pat Mayo joins us next. Super Locks. Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, sitting alongside the one and only Pat Mayos. It's Pat Mayos' Super Lock of the Week, coming off a victory last week with the Minnesota Vikings, getting 7 points at Carolina. Now sitting with a 2-1 record after 3 weeks, Pat.
Can they sponsor the Super Lock? Can we call it the Minnesota Vikings Super Lock of the Week? Because these guys, all they do is cover. And still, even this week, they're not my Super Lock this week, but at -5, they seem like they're getting disrespected again. I know the Giants are all right, and the Giants way better technically as underdogs than they've played as favorites, but it just seems odd for a team that's dominated so well. And even when you look at advanced metrics, whether it be DVOA on special teams, defense, and even offense, they're not terrible. They're better with Sam Bradford, and they've realized that their running game stinks, so all they do is throw, and they make these high percentage passes and move the chains.
I wish I would have informed our extremely talented and skilled graphics team here. We should put like a Rodney Dangerfield face, take the Viking off the helmet, and have like Dangerfield. I can't get no respect. No respect at all. It's amazing. I'm actually surprised they're favored by 4.5, Pat. Not because they don't deserve to be from a football standpoint, but because, ooh, it's Odell Beckham.
Oh, it's the Giants.
The Giants in Monday Night Football. I'm surprised it's not only Minnesota -3, to be honest, but I lean with the Minnesota Vikings in this game as well.
You stand with the Vikings?
Dude, why would you want to bet against a team that's now 17-2 against the spread in their last 19 games?
Apple's banged up. Dominique Rogers, Cromartie is banged up on the defense. And one of the good things that the Giants have done so far this season is shut down good receivers. And Stephon Diggs is going to eat in this game. As we've seen, what the Giants don't do well is cover these underneath routes. Look for Rudolph and Diggs, the two best passing weapons the Vikings have, to be completely uncovered the entire game.
You forgot about one of the injuries, too. Odell Beckham, he's got a gash on his forehead because he got hit in the head with a kicking net, and there's something wrong with his eyes. There's like some sort of like salty water discharge coming out of his eyes as well as it'll be interesting to see how Beckham bounces back against an extremely physical Minnesota Viking defense, but we'll break that game down on Monday. And even though it's not a Super Lock of the Week, we'll have like 10 picks for it on Monday's show, and bet way too much money on the game.
Diggs and Rudolph, whatever the over receptions are, take bet.
Yeah,
just take those bets. I don't want to get into it yet. There's a game I do want to talk about because I don't quite understand what's going on. The Broncos on the road against Tampa Bay are 3-point favorites. It seems very good, and someone was pointed out to me earlier in the week that if you ask any one of your friends, who do you want in that game, Denver or Tampa Bay? 100% of them are going to say Denver, right? So all the bets have come in. 80% of the bets against the spread have come in against Denver. The line has not budged an inch. Vegas is taking a stand on this game. They like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to cover that +3 at home, which makes me inclined to like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to cover cover that +3 at home as well.
That's a good way of putting it. It's like the TV show Bait Car. You know, so they leave the keys. They leave the keys like in the ignition, and they leave the windows open, and they put it in a bad part of town, and then they just watch somebody get in and get caught. I was actually sitting in a sports book in Vegas next to a kid that got arrested on Bait Car before. I asked him, "What are you doing in Vegas?" He goes, "I came here for a wedding, and I got arrested in Bait Car. I stole a laptop from a computer on one of those reality TV shows in the parking lot of Palace Station. Kid had a $20 ticket on a game. I ended up buying the kid drinks all night. I felt, what a story. But, what a story. But you're right. But here's a trap. They're reeling you in. They're like, hey, why don't you bet Denver? Why don't you bet Denver? But Denver don't lose.
I know.
And I got in their way before, but I don't want to do it anymore.
But that's the whole thing. So there's one of two ways to play this. When you see the trap game, and it happened last week, we talked about the Bills in Arizona was the biggest trap, at least based on line movement. So you can be a person that says, hey, I see this line movement, and I'm just going to go against what everyone else is doing when it becomes significant. But you have to do it every time. It doesn't work every time, but it works like 70% of the time. And if you can win bets around 70%,
well,
you're doing really well.
Well, the Cowboys 49ers game. It's the same thing. Even though Dez Bryant's out, they're telling, hey, take the Cowboys. Hey, 2.5, 2.5, take the Cowboys.
Kind of like the Cowboys. That's a stay away game for me. Like, I'm just not touching it. And some of the games you don't touch, but like, I kind of like Tampa in this spot. I think their run defense is really good. And when you watch that game last week, Simeon hit Emmanuel Sanders on a bomb. He hit Demaryius Thomas on a bomb. What do the two bombs have in common? They were wildly underthrown and great adjustments by the receivers to get into the end zone. I like Trevor Simeon. I think he's going to throw the ball up. The Bucs have an excellent run defense, especially when Gerald McCoy is in there, which he is right now, and everything that they do goes off of C.J. Anderson. If he can't get going on the ground, it's going to be highly problematic for that Denver offense. I think Denver wins, but it might be a 3-point game. It might be a 1-point game. Tampa could squeeze this out at home. There's a lot of home dogs this week. You got to take some of them because home dogs do cover at a very, very high rate. I would wait till Sunday for this number because eventually it is going to move. It's probably going to move to 3.5 at Denver at some point. Then you jump on Tampa, +3.5 on Sunday morning. They'll cover that.
I'm not in a hurry to be taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I was high on the Bucs coming into this season. But defensively, they have a lot of problems. You said if they contain C.J. Anderson.
They can stop. They're stopping the run. They're the fifth best team against the run right now. People are passing all over them.
All right. I give my picks on Morency Unfiltered, and the video gets up on the website and YouTube, etc. But if I was going to call a game a super lock, I would go with the Carolina Panthers over the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons, two consecutive road games, playing on a short week right now. Very, very tough spot. Not to mention Atlanta beat Carolina last time they played, ruined their season. They're going to have Carolina's interest. Cam Newton got sacked 8 times last week.
Not going to happen this week.
Yeah, the Falcons don't have 8 sacks like in the last 18 games, I don't think, Pat.
I like Carolina.
They can't get to the quarterback. Cam Newton's going to light them up. This is a must-win situation for the Carolina Panthers. All right, before we get to your super lock, a game that it's a train wreck game, but people have fun talking about it, is the Browns and the Redskins.
I like the Redskins.
To cover
the 7.5. Yeah, I think it was the 7.5 last night. Yeah, it's still at 7.5
right now. I
brought
it up just a couple minutes ago with Merrill. If you think about it, Pat, last year, remember everyone was like, the Redskins can't beat teams with winning records, which means they won every game against bad teams.
And weirdly enough, when we speak about regression in analytical terms like that, a guy who is bound to regress in a very good way based on his performance this year. Kirk Cousins hasn't looked good, but his stats should be a lot better than what he's done. He's just been completely inept inside the red zone because they've been passing a lot in the red zone.
I think he might have turned a corner in the second half.
I agree.
Week.
I think that Kirk Cousins comes out, if you're playing daily fantasy, you're a millionaire maker.
He's
lineup,
my quarterback.
You throw in Kirk Cousins. I think he has a big game here. And the only thing that Cleveland.
I'm not making it up later.
Yeah, there it is right there. Who do you got? You got with him? You got Reed? Now, you know, you got to get Jamison Crowder or Reed in there.
I was
to go
thinking
along
about
with
Crowder. I like Cam Newton. He's in the top.
He's the most popular guy this week.
Anyways, all right, back to this game.
The whole thing is Isaiah Crowell is going to get the ball a lot on the ground. You can run on the Redskins. That's going to really tamper down the amount of plays that are going to be run in that game. That gives me a little bit of pause. But if the Redskins can get up early, which I do think they will, it's going to be the Terrell Pryor show, who also should probably be in your millionaire maker lineup. But he's the only offensive cog they have that's any good. If they can find a way to even limit him a little bit, it's going to be all Washington all the time in this game. And weirdly enough, when you look at the spread distribution, this is a game that people are betting on, and they're betting on the Browns to cover. People love Terrell Pryor, by the way, because everyone watched that game last week because everyone had Miami in Survivor.
You know who loved Terrell Pryor? Me. Before this year started even, Pat.
You
I
did?
In the preseason, I told you, Terrell Pryor, and his proof, I got him in the fantasy, got my fantasy cup team.
There you go.
And now everyone, you're late. You're late to the party.
And with no Josh Gordon probably for the entire season, it's not like his stock's going anywhere.
No, he's a hell of an athlete, Pryor. He turned his life around, too. It's not like he was a bad dude. I mean, he got some free tattoos, but he was a little bit of an attitude.
Was he a supplemental draft guy like Gordon was?
Yeah, yeah.
But he went to Oakland,
was,
right?
Yeah. Supplement. All right, so speaking of Oakland,
let's have it.
I tell you guys every week, get some damn music. All right.
I like your music better.
No, we need like some game show style music. All right, Raiders and Ravens. That's your super lock of the week. Who are you taking?
Well, I look at a team that just went from the West Coast to the East Coast and probably should have lost to the Tennessee Titans, but did not. And I see Oakland, and I say, you know what? They've given up over 1,000 yards through the air so far this season. Fun fact about that, they're the only team that has given up that many passing yards. You know what Baltimore doesn't do very well? Run the ball. They like to pass the ball. They like to complete high percentage passes. And the Oakland...
Flacco completed 21 consecutive passes.
Yeah, and they couldn't score on any of those drives. I know what happens. It's because they can't run the ball. But this week, it shouldn't be a problem against the Raiders. Baltimore, historically a very, very good home team. And shout out to my guy, Jeff Feinberg. We got some baby swag on the go here. Joe Flacco just had his kid. You can't overrate that narrative. And weirdly enough, I got it at -3 earlier in the week. And as you mentioned before on Sports
Now, that baby thing's no good. In fact, if a player has a baby, they don't cover the next
three. No, they're definitely going to cover this.
No, they're not sleeping. They're distracted. They're up all night.
Flacco covered the last time he had a kid. I went and looked it up.
Does Flacco's kid have like
the unibrow?
The same eyebrows?
So it's -3 on Sportsbook
like
if you want it.
On The Simpsons.
It is -3.5 on a lot of places. Whether it be -3, whether it be 3.5, you can go site shopping. I'm fine with it at -3.5. Weirdly enough, at the -3, all the line movement was coming in on Oakland anyway. So if you wait till Sunday, you probably get it back at -3 if you're seeing the -3.5 number right now. Just give yourself some pause. I think that Baltimore wins this game in a rout. I know they've beaten up crappy teams so far this season. I don't think they're an elite team like the Broncos or the Patriots or potentially even the Seahawks, even though they got off to the weirdish start. They're still 2-1. But Baltimore is very good against bad teams. They're going to beat the crap out of Oakland. I love Baltimore. The more super lock them in.
Yeah, you know what? I can't disagree. I cannot disagree with the pick. The Raiders won last week on the road. And similar to what I talked about it with the Atlanta Falcons earlier, the law of averages catches up to everybody in the National Football League. And the Raiders don't fare well when they win on the road the following week on the road again. And to put it in context, the last 10 times the Raiders have won a road game, the following road game, they're 1-9 straight up.
That makes me feel good.
Yeah, they're 3-7. 3-7 against the spread. Another key factor here is Elvis Dumervil returning for the Ravens defense. And I'll tell you, Pat.
What happened to Oakland's defense being like, so legit coming into the year? They're not so hot.
No. They've got big problems. You know, the Ravens defense, only giving up 14 points a game. Second best defense as far as yardage. Yeah, they haven't played anybody, but all you got to do is beat the team that you're playing. Baltimore were like a horrible team last year. The wheels fell off.
They lost Flacco. They lost all their defense.
And they even said, because Harbaugh's not getting fired. He's like, all right, whatever, guys. Next year, we're good. We'll be back. I'm not saying that they're power that they were before, but I agree. And I tell you what, Pat, the Raiders put up 26 points per game. I think the Raiders, like, it's one of these ugly, Carr gets picked off, and he has a real bad day in Baltimore.
I mean, they're averaging that many points per game, but how many of those came in week 1 against the Saints? And everyone's putting up points against the Saints. So when you look back at the last 2 weeks, I mean, they didn't do so well against the Falcons at home, and they did okay against Tennessee on the road. Tennessee's not a great defense either. So I'm not buying this Oakland hype train. I don't like the West coming east. I love Baltimore in this spot, and I'm going to super lock them in.
2-1 so far with Pat Mayo. Super lock is super lock the Baltimore Ravens minus the points. Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Week four. Who wants to be a millionaire? I know I want to. Last week, our millionaire maker lineup cost us $20 to enter. We ended up getting paid $30 back in return. Obviously, we're hoping for a hell of a lot more. But truth be told, we doubled your money. 20 to 30. Let's take the 30 and turn it into something big this weekend. And let's start off in the nation's capital with Kirk Cousins, a quarterback that I was really high on coming into the year and I actually drafted on one of my teams. It appeared to be a big mistake, yet it's still early in the season. And Cousins actually putting numbers up. I think he might have turned a corner in the second half last week against the Giants, taking on a Cleveland Brown team. He's given up nearly 300 yards a game in the air. Wentz, Flacco, Tannehill all put up big numbers. I think that Kirk Cousins puts up big numbers against the Cleveland Browns, $6,500. Running back, Ezekiel Elliott, $6,900. You know what? I was tempted by a lot of the value picks like Jordan Howard, etc. at 37, but ultimately, I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to take Elliott against the San Francisco 49er defense. I hear Elliott, 30 carries last week, 32 touches. The kid's going to get the ball a ton. This is what they brought him to Dallas for. And Jason Garrett, when he goes on the road, he really runs the ball. So we're going to go with Elliott, and we're going to take Carlos Hyde, another player that I drafted before the year, and people said, oh, you're an idiot. Carlos Hyde sucks. Well, I'll tell you what, Carlos Hyde doesn't suck. Carlos Hyde has four touchdowns in three games against elite defenses. He's played against the Rams defense, played against the Panthers defense. He's played against the Seahawks defense. Carlos Hyde's going to get the ball 20-plus times, and what I like about this, yeah, there'll be instances when Morris gets a touch or two, but for the most part in this game, and it's going to be a run-heavy game, every time the football is rushed between Elliott and Hyde, we're getting points. Wide receiver, Tyrell Williams, San Diego Chargers. They're getting the New Orleans Saint secondary coming to the beach. I like Travis Benjamin a little bit more, I got to be honest, but the price point pointed me in the direction of Tyrell Williams. Antonio Brown. I'm a little bit worried about this, but I don't like a lot of the other high-profile wide receivers this week, and it's like money. I don't want to take it to the grave. I don't mind leaving a little bit of money on the table, but ultimately, even for quote-unquote bad games, Antonio Brown still has big games, and I think there could be some points put up on the board. The last four times the Chiefs and the Steelers have played, they've been low-scoring games. Call it a gut instinct that there's going to be some fantasy points on the board, but even when he's sort of contained, he still puts up decent fantasy numbers. Calvin Benjamin. Calvin Benjamin was really held in check, did nothing last week against the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think people are going to own him all that much because they're going to get scared. They live in the past. Oh, what happened last week? I think Calvin Benjamin's going to light it up and get it done against the Atlanta Falcons. Zach Miller's my value pick. $2,700. Guy gets targeted a ton. Hoyer likes him. Eight catches on 9 targets last week. 15 catches, 18 targets on the season. Greg Olsen's a DFS machine, man. This guy puts up wide receiver type numbers. So I'm sort of mini stack in the passing attack of the Panthers. And I like the Ravens defense to shut down the Raiders. I think Carr's going to have a bad day on the road. All right, let's get to our Friday night plays of the day. We got a big Pac-12 contest. We're going to take the Washington Huskies, -3. We might have to buy a half point depending on what the closing number is going to be. It's going to be a tough test for the Huskies, but I think they can get it done. BYU's played a murderous schedule. I have a lot of respect for the Toledo Rockets, but I think BYU gets it done. We're going to lay the 3 in this as well. Let's go Toledo, BYU, over 52. You think we forgot about you, Canada? Little CFL action. Edmonton Eskimos are desperate right now. I like the Eskimos getting the points against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and I'm going to tease the Edmonton Eskimos to the over as well. And Major League Baseball, final weekend of regular season play. Last night we did very well, man. I think we went 8-3 with the picks that we gave you. Not that anyone's patting our back, right? But we didn't give you Baltimore to go under the number. 12 straight Baltimore Oriole games have gone under the number. They're 15-2 to the under in their last 17. Under 8.5 tonight. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.